Pepperoni, fa la 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 la. Mustard, eggplant, and bologna, fa la 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 la. Santa Claus will bring his reindeer, fa la 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 la.
Happy holidays, guys. Welcome to episode 24 of the Party Wagon Podcast, where we talk about all things TMNT from the past, present, and future. I am your host, Brendan, from the YouTube channel, Brendan's Rambles. Going solo again, as I told you, Eric will not be here for a few episodes. It's just going to be me flying solo, so I apologize. Just bear with me. I think the last episode was objectively the worst episode of the Party Wagon Podcast thus far. I kind of had to just make it up on the spot. So me and Eric have like this big, huge list of ideas of episodes. And we usually just grab like three or four of those at a time and decide like, okay, these will be the next three or four episodes. And we had everything from like October to through January planned out. But then, you know, Eric had to go. So now it's just me going solo. So I kind of canceled all of those episodes because I don't want to do them without him. And I'm kind of like making up new topics to talk about. And the last one was pretty bad. I made that up like 20 minutes before recording because I didn't know what I was going to do. So I kind of just made that up on the spot. And I feel like I didn't have much to say about that topic that hasn't already been said on this podcast a million times before. So I felt like it was kind of just me retreading familiar ground. It was a really short episode. I barely talked about any news. There wasn't that much news to talk about. Most of the episode was just me reviewing these freaking Battletoads figures from Premium DNA. So it wasn't the best Ninja Turtle podcast episode for sure. But we have a very special topic for you today. We have something very special that we're going to be talking about this time. So don't you worry. We got the good stuff now. But yeah, I'm trying to come up with topics that I don't think Eric would be down missing out on, like stuff I can cover that like I don't think he's like dying to talk about. So I don't want to do any of our big topics without him. So I had to come up with new stuff. Like I said, I actually had time to come up with the rest of them. So today we're actually going to get something decent. But I apologize for the last episode. The last episode was ass. I have not gone back and watched our early episodes. Since we posted them, I really haven't gone back and listened to older episodes of the podcast. I just listened to the newest episode when it gets posted to Spotify. But they might be worse. But I think the last episode was pretty rough. That was a pretty rough episode. So hopefully things go a little better this time. Because, hoo-wee, that was not a good listen. But let's jump right into some news. I guess since, you know, I'm recording this like the day after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving just happened, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were in the Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They had this big, elaborate Mutant Mayhem float in the not like a float, like the balloon, like the driving floats. I always found that confusing that they called the big decorative things that drive by that have all the characters all over them and stuff floats. But then the big balloons up in the air, I always called floats when I was a kid because they float. So I never really got which one's the float and which one isn't the float. So they had this big, like, driving float, I guess I'll say. This big display driving around of, like, New York City. Just like the Mutant Mayhem motif looks. They had, like, Superfly on it and stuff and Bebop and Rocksteady driving on their motorcycles. It was a pretty cool display. And, you know, they had the turtles there. And I don't know if that's a big deal for a lot of people anymore. I don't know how many people watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But when I was a kid, that was a big deal. Like, everybody watched that parade. That's just what you did on Thanksgiving. You eat food and you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I know now it's like you eat food and you watch football. But when I was a kid, it was like, the people watched football, but it was like, you watch that damn parade, and I don't think anyone watches it anywhere near as much as they did when we were kids. Admittedly, I usually just put on older parades. I'll put on like 1989 or 1988 or 1991 or something and just watch those parades. They're on YouTube. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised to see that. Because actually, if you go back to, I think it is 1990, the Ninja Turtles were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for the first time. They were the Coming Out of Their Shells Turtles, which we'll touch on briefly later in this episode. And they did like the song. They might have done You Can Count on Us or something. They might have done a few of the songs. But yeah, they actually had them in the parade, and now they're back in the parade. There might have been a time in between there, like during the 2012 series, they were probably in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But this is my first time really seeing them in the parade since I was a kid. And it's just like, oh man, that's awesome. So I think that's a big deal. I mean, it's the stuff they have in there is crazy now. They have like Monkey D. Luffy and all these like anime characters and stuff. And it's like, wow, this is not the parade I remember. I remember Snoopy and Garfield, but it's cool though. It's cool. That's the stuff kids like now. So, you know, just put them in there. But yeah, it was cool to see the Turtles back in. You know, obviously it's going to be the Mutant Mayhem Turtles. They poured a lot of money into that movie. So they're like, not so much just the movie, but just to get that big float built and like have this whole Ninja Turtle segment in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, that costs a lot of money. So if you're a turtle fan, go check out the footage of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's awesome to see them in there. It's a reason to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade now, like other than the Rockettes. if you want to see something fun other than staring at the Rockettes, you could watch that. So yeah, it was great to see them back in the parade, because to me that's a big deal. You know, when I was a kid, every year I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade to see the balloons and to see the legs of the Rockettes. So big deal for me. But other news for Ninja Turtles is they've had a lot of action figure news, and the He-Man and Ninja Turtle crossover that's been going on has been shown off more. We've seen more figures. It's a big toy line, and I believe they're hitting store shelves already, because I've seen some review thumbnails pop up on my YouTube feed. So I'm guessing that they have them rolling out now, but I haven't seen any in my stores. I've not seen any of those figures yet. I still see tons of Mutant Mayhem figures. I still see a ton of like the retro Playmates ones. Like, they have the movie Star Turtles out now everywhere. I still see the Pizza Tossers everywhere, because I think a lot of people think those are terrifying and they don't want them. Is Genghis Frog really got rolled out recently? I got him, the re-release of him. But yeah, I haven't seen these MOTU ones yet, but I've seen a bunch of the images, and we got a bunch more characters. We got Raph as Ram Man, which I actually called. I actually suggested Raph as Ram Man. So I'm kind of, if we get Mike as Orko, then I win. I predicted everybody. And I know a lot of people are arguing like, no, these turtles aren't the traditional style of turtle crossovers. It's not just the turtles dressing up as characters, but like, it kind of is, because like, Leo is clearly He-Man, Don is clearly Man-at-Arms, and Raph is clearly Ram-Man. I know there's other stuff in the line, but I do feel like they are definitely still doing that with the turtles. So I'm assuming Mike will be Orko. I don't know who they're going to go with. Like, probably a funny character. Yeah, we got other ones shown off, though. We have like Slacker, who's like Slash and Faker. I don't know how I feel about it. He looks a little weird. His head's really big and stuff. Some people have like said, like, well, why isn't he Metalhead? Metalhead's already the robot double of the Turtles. But it's like, Faker is meant to look convincingly organic, and he's secretly a robot underneath, like the Terminator. So I can see why they went with Slash. Like, he has a Slash exterior and a Metalhead interior. So I get where they're coming from, but it's, you know, it's a cool looking figure, but it's whatever. It's kind of weird. We got some mutated characters like Moss Man, who's like a Venus flytrap. And then we got Ram Man, who's actually a ram. For some reason, all the mutant characters are like these weird, like translucent plastic. And I usually like translucent plastic, but it feels weird for the mutants to all be translucent. I don't get it. And it's weird that they're actually mutating the creatures and He-Man's just a big blue Hulk. So I don't really get why He-Man didn't turn into a creature. Like, it should be the last animal he came in contact with if we're doing the 87 rules. So he should probably be a battle cat, but I guess not. Ram Man's a ram. He doesn't look as obviously ram-like as I would have expected, but yeah, you know, it's a cool idea. I just don't think it's quite there. Like, I like the idea, but I don't think it's quite there. They showed off Shredder, and yeah, he's kind of Motu-ish, but I kind of feel like he's just Shredder. He's just like a different take on the Shredder. He looks a lot like the 2003 one, actually. He's got like the dark, you know, face peeking through with the red eyes, and then he's got the silver helmet, and he's got the, even like the 2003 foot logo that just looks like the Triceraton logo on his chest. So it really seems like he's supposed to be the 2003 Shredder. He doesn't really look like a He-Man Shredder that much. And then Beast Man is just Beast Man. He's wearing like samurai armor, but you can take that off and he's just Beast Man. So that's pretty lazy. I don't really know why that's a Ninja Turtles Beast Man. I know he's already a Beast Man, and that's what the Turtles gimmick is mutants, but I feel like they could have been a little more creative with that one. I just feel like the He-Man cross characters don't cross over as well as the Turtles ones do. The Turtles ones adopting He-Man gimmicks works better than the He-Man characters adopting Turtles gimmicks. Because Turtles' aesthetic is so all over the place, whereas He-Man aesthetic is pretty consistent. So I feel like just making Turtles characters that look like He-Man characters will probably work better than like these weird new versions of He-Man characters. But there's a whole story to it. I know that's why Shredder is not mutated, because he's like the villain mutating everybody and stuff. So I don't know what the plot is going to be, but it's cool. It's a cool idea. I'm not going to collect it personally. But it's cool, I guess. I think they could have done more with it. I think like there's a lot of potential they're not tapping into, but we'll see how it does. People might like it. It might make people really happy. If it does, that's cool. What I will be collecting some of is the new Super 7 Wave. They finally showed off Wave 11. Wave 10 was weird. It was disappointing. It was confusing. We got the sexy Rat King, we got the hunky Rat King, we got Karai originally in it, then they took her out, then they put her back in when they removed sexy Rat King. We got classic rocker Leo, which was kind of underwhelming and not 100% true to the Playmates toy. We got Casey, but they changed the color of his shirt to match, like, you know, the red shirt era from the comics. And we got whatever that April O'Neil one was. I know some people like the Ninja April O'Neil, but for me personally, I don't need it. And she's in another wave with another human female ninja, so it's kind of redundant. Like, you have two ninja girls who are humans, so it's kind of redundant. And especially since we're not getting like anything that this line was supposed to be originally, which is recreations of the 1988 toy line, the Playmates toy line. But yeah, me and Eric were both really looking forward to when they released Wave 11, because that was going to be the telltale sign of where this line is headed. We were We were then told that the next wave was going to be 2003 Turtles, and it's not. So I don't know what that was about, but maybe the Leo in this wave is loosely inspired by the 2003 Leo, but regardless, we didn't get 2003 Turtles in this wave. We got an extremely disappointing wave. Now, I know I crap on Super 7 all the time, but this wave, man. So the Rat King looks great. He's not a one-to-one recreation of the vintage Rat King, but again, I'm fine with that. Like I always say, I don't really need one-to-one recreations of the vintage figures. I'm pretty happy with them taking some artistic liberties and creating some things that make them new, which, you know, makes it exciting. I want to see what's new about the figure, not just like, I can't wait to have a slightly bigger version of all the figures I have over here on this shelf. Like, that's not really something I need. It's cool, but I kind of like there being something new, some new oomph to them. So I don't mind that some of the things are different, like his cat belt is pretty different and stuff. So that's cool. A huge missed opportunity that he doesn't come with a bunch of loose rats. He should come with just a whole crap ton of rats. Again, the premium DNA Battletoads figures that are the same price as these Super 7 Ultimates, the same scale, come with like a million huge, chunky, fully painted, decoed accessories. Like some of the accessories are bigger than the toys themselves. And this Rat King is just coming with scraps. A lot of the accessories are really underwhelming in these new waves. Like we were getting all these like big accessories, like surfboards and giant guns and bazookas and all this stuff. And now we're really just getting like a few hands, a couple heads, maybe like a little pistol or something. It's getting very underwhelming. But yeah, we got this new Rat King. He still has the sexy emo band head. If you want that, if you really wanted that Rat King, you can still slap that head on this body. He's going to be a little dirtier because he's got centipedes all over him and stuff now. But, you know, if you really wanted that head, you got it. I don't know who's going to use it, but I'm sure there's someone out there. It looks cool. But then the rest of the wave, we have a Leo figure that I just can't figure out for the life of me. It's just like a new version of Leo. Very simple, very plain. He's like a samurai, which we already have. We have Sewer Samurai Leo, which is actually based on a vintage figure. Now we're getting a Samurai Leo without armor. He wears like the croucher hat and all that stuff. Like he has like the hat. It's like the exact same hat you see like the Three Storms wearing in Big Trouble in Little China. He comes with a couple hats and stuff. And like, it looks cool, but I'm not going to get it. Like I already have Leo. I already have Samurai Leo and regular Leo. I don't need a regular Leo who's slightly samurai themed. So I don't know what the hell that is. That's like a new idea. It's very boring to just be getting another turtle in a wave that already has a turtle. We have Rapid Mike. All we're missing now is Heavy Metal Raph from the Rock and Roll series, assuming that all these waves will even ever see the light of day. They made everything on him removable. Everything's just a loose accessory. Like his sunglasses are an accessory. His Flava Flav necklaces are an accessory. His hat is an accessory, his Sideward's hat. And that one really shouldn't be. I can kind of understand the necklaces and the sunglasses, even though I kind of wish they would just sculpt the sunglasses on, because sunglasses fall off a lot, especially on creatures that don't have ears. So it's getting very annoying trying to keep sunglasses on figures. But whatever. I mean, it's also kind of nice that you can take them off. And like, you know, I use one of Surfer Mike's alt heads as my normal Mike's main head now. So I guess that's cool. It doesn't have permanent sunglasses sculpted on it. But Rapper Mike just put the sunglasses on it. I mean, if they were to do skateboarding to Mike, I guess they'd do the same thing. He'd have removable sunglasses. The hat should be part of his head. Making the hat removable is just dumb. So like he just kind of looks like regular Mike wearing a torn up white shirt and black pants. Like, he looks like Mike going to the gym down the street in the middle of the winter or something. Like, he's not going to get all dressed up. He's just going there to do some cardio and then he's coming home. So it's not the greatest recreation, but it's probably the coolest figure in the wave other than Rat King. All of his accessories are not one-to-one to what he used to have. They're not all neon orange like they were in the vintage line that looked so cool. They're very plain looking. He's missing some of them. The ones he does have look drastically different. It's just this weird thing where, like, it really feels like there's a licensing issue, but everyone swears there's no licensing issue. It doesn't seem like there should be. It just seems like they decided they don't want to do one-to-one recreations anymore, which is really weird. I don't know if there's nothing actually legal or but like Playmates still just got pissed at them and said, like, hey, we're re-releasing a lot of old figures. Could you maybe not do that? Maybe try to be like a little unique. But I think what it actually is just they saw that Playmates keeps releasing all these old figures. So they're like, oh, let's make ours look unique so people don't just skip on them. Let's give them a reason to buy them because everyone can get back their vintage figures. It's like, but the vintage figures that Playmates is releasing are exact replicas with crappier paint jobs than the originals and probably weaker plastic. People are coming to yours because they're deluxe versions of the vintage figures that are poseable and humongous and more detailed, like more well-painted. So like what Playmates is doing is not getting in the way of what you're doing. So I still don't really get what the heck Super 7's doing, but they're doing it. And Rapid Mike that's one of my favorites from the Rock and Roll Turtles. I think Rapid Mike and Heavy Metal Raph are my favorites. I like Punker Don a lot too. Those three are really good. They've always been leagues cooler than Classic Rocker Leo. He was clearly the boringest of the bunch. Still a cool figure, but you know, he was the boringest of the four. But it's underwhelming, honestly. I was really looking forward to Rapid Mike, and it's not as cool as I was hoping it would be. I used to really like that figure. Then the last figure in the wave is Bashed Up Foot Soldier. So it's just the regular Foot Soldier that we already got, but he has some new sculpted parts that have like metal showing and stuff. And you can see like the robotic skeleton underneath, which is like every Turtles line does that. It's just like, you know, time killing. It's just like we didn't have enough time to make a new proper sculpt for this wave. So we just, you know, did a little kit bash of a figure we already had, and now we're just going to release that. Completely unnecessary. I won't be buying that. I'm really only going to be buying Rapid Mike and the Rat King. But I mean, that's better than the wave before, because the wave before it, I'm only getting Classic Rocker Leo. So Super 7 collecting is going to get a lot cheaper for me down the road. It's great. It's going to get so affordable because I'm only going to be getting one or two figures a wave. I mean, even wave 8, I think I'm only going to get 3 figures. I'm getting the, I haven't gotten all of them yet, but I got Genghis. I still need the Space Cadet Raph, and I still need Robotic Rocksteady. And I'm not getting that Shredder. So that's 3 figures there. And, you know, Wave 9, I'm getting them all. Not the Flocked Splinter, but all like the 4 main figures. And then Wave 10, I'm getting 1. Wave 11, I'm getting 2. So, yeah, Super 7 collecting is going to get a lot cheaper. Although, I actually have been taking advantage with the Big Bad Toy Store sales. I was on the fence about MMPR Goldar for a while, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The Goldar figure looks so nice. He was $24 on Big Bad Toy Store, so I just had to grab him. He's coming in the mail. I don't know when he'll show up, but I got that guy coming in the mail now. So, excited about that. He looks really cool. It's my first time getting a Super 7 Ultimates that isn't Ninja Turtles, actually. So we'll see that. We'll see how that goes. Some of those Power Ranger ones are really cool, though. I have been kind of tempted. Even though I've never had an interest, really, in getting toys of the Rangers, they look really nice together. So someday I might get them and do, like, a little Power Ranger display somewhere in my room. I'm not, like, a diehard for Power Rangers. I have a friend who knows like everything about Power Rangers. My friend Tim can go on about Power Rangers for hours, and he has, which is fine. I know he's a big fan of Jason David Frank, which, you know, RIP. And I can totally understand. That guy was so cool. I definitely understand being a huge fan of that guy and everything he stood for, everything he accomplished. But yeah, I have fond memories of Power Rangers, though. That was like the big thing after Ninja Turtles, even though it wasn't the big thing I got into. Like, I didn't get into anywhere near as much as Ninja Turtles. I watched like the whole first season or two. So like, I saw a lot of Power Rangers. It's just a very nostalgic thing. I see those characters, I'm like, oh, the 90s. So I might grab some of them. I remember a lot of them, you know, King Sphinx and all the monsters they're doing. I wasn't watching the show anymore when Lord Zedd took over, but he's really cool. So I might grab Lord Zedd in his throne at some point. Also, we'll see. Right now, I'm just getting Goldar. So I don't have any plans to get anyone else, just Goldar. But we'll see, because there's some really cool figures in there. And if they start doing some of the other crazy ones, if they do like, what was the name? Pine Octopus. That was the first episode I ever saw of the show, so that has a kind of special meaning for me. If they do Pudgy Pig or something, like if there's some monsters that if they do them, I'll probably get them. I might even get King Sphinx at some point. And they're doing them very true to the suits, how the suits looked in the show, which is very cool. The Megazord looks really good. This Dragon Zord looks really good. All the little Zords look cool. They have like the T-Rex Zord looks really cool. But I'll see. I got Goldar because he was $24, and like, you can't go wrong for $24, like a big chunky Super 7 Ultimates. Like, I don't even care if one of his accessories breaks. Like, I can't go wrong with that price. So, yeah, I'll have that soon. But yeah, Super 7 collecting is going to get cheap for me because I'm not getting most of what they're doing. And if the next wave really is, if wave 12 is all 2003, then like, 2003 show is awesome. I like it a lot, but I'm not collecting the figures for that unless they're like insanely cool. So like, unless they do something crazy, like have Ground Chuck in the next wave or something, I don't think I'm going to buy anything for the next wave, wave 12. And honestly, I don't even know if we're ever getting wave 10 and wave 11 for real. Like Super 7 might not even be a thing anymore by the time those waves are coming out. Cause we're still waiting until like summer to get wave 7. It's going to be like 3 years since they announced it that we're going to get it with the Gorilla and all that. So who even knows what they're actually getting around to? I'm still waiting to, I wanted like the Nightmare Before Christmas ones that were promised this Halloween season. We didn't get them. So now I'm waiting another year because they've been delayed a year. To see them. I really want to see if I want to buy them or not, because I want to see like actual reviews of them and stuff before I buy them. I've reached a point now with Super 7 where I'm kind of like, I don't really want to just dive in and buy a figure until I see proof that I'm going to like it. In the past, I would just buy a wave. But now I kind of want to see reviews of them to see what I think of it, because that's a lot of money to be pouring into something that you might not like. So, yeah, I would like those Nightmare Before Christmas ones, though. But we'll see. I don't know when NECA's putting out theirs, but we'll see. But, yeah, that's the news with Super 7. They're still doing their thing. They're still not doing that many vintage toy line figures. Again, I'm guessing they have a shortage of time now or something. They have a limited staff. They don't have the size staff they used to. I don't know. I think I still haven't heard word if the Four Horsemen are still making those figures or not, or if these are new sculptors. But something's going on. We're getting like one or two vintage-inspired figures a wave now, and the rest of them are just all these edits of characters we already have, or human characters, or just like all new stuff that isn't based on any pre-existing action figures. So like Eric said, it's getting kind of draining thinking about the, like, we're only getting about two waves a year now actually releasing. And like, it's so slow, the progression. We still have all these waves coming up that don't have a bunch of figures that we want, that it's good. We're going to be like 60 by the time, if they actually consistently keep putting out these lines and they only have like 187 or I'm sorry, 88 figure a wave. And like, we're going to be 60 by the time they actually put out all the characters we want. Like, by the time we finally get, you know, Chrome Dome and Dirtbag and Hothead and all those characters, it's going to take a long time to get all of them. Pizza Face. And people have been asking for Pizza Face since Mutagen Man was added to the line in Wave 2. So, like, we really got to get on top of that Pizza Face, I think. I know the people at Super 7 said they don't like him. But, you know, they always say they make the figures they want, but that's not going to necessarily make you money. Sometimes you got to make what the fans want, because they're the ones buying it. And we'll only do like charity buys so many times. Like, oh, that's a cool idea, we'll buy it to support this toy line. But it's like, at some point, if you just keep doing all these little weird fantasy figures you want that no one else cares about, fans aren't going to keep just doing, in like, you know, pity supports. Like, they're going to get like annoyed and be like, you know, we bought a lot of the dumb crap you came up with. We just want stuff we want now. So, yeah, same old with Super 7. Sorry. We have release dates for a lot of stuff. Ninja Turtles, we know when the new show Tales of the TMNT is coming out. We still don't really know anything about it. We don't really know if it takes place after the movie, if it takes place before the movie, if it's going to involve all the mutant characters, if it's just going to be the turtles, if the turtles are going to be a team fighting crime, or if it's going to be like high school stories and the turtles are separated and all in their own little cliques. We really have no idea what this show is going to be, or if it's just going to be all the mutants going to high school and it's like a mutant high school show, kind of like Galaxy High, but with mutants instead. I have no idea what this show is going to be, but it's happening, man. Like, they keep pushing it. So that's happening. The Last Ronin sequel series is happening. Not the Lost Years. That's over. The actual sequel one, which is about the new Turtles, which I have to say I'm still not super interested in. Like, I don't know if I'm going to read these comics. I'll have to hear if they're good or not. I'm sure Eric will read them. I'll ask him how they are, but I'm probably not going to read them. I don't care about these new turtles. I know that's a bit of a problem, that like, oh, if I don't have the turtles from my childhood, I don't care. But you are just building this on Ninja Turtles. This is essentially still nostalgia bait. So if you lose too much of the nostalgia, you are going to lose some people like me, where it's like, well, you know, I like Ninja Turtles because I like the dynamic of the four brothers and everything. And I like those characters, and I like to see what those characters do and what they get into and how they interact with their world and the other characters in it that I know and love. And when you reach a point where there's no characters, no legacy characters that I know and love, and it's just four new characters fighting alongside a new human girl, Casey Marie, it just becomes like a new thing. Like, it doesn't really feel like Ninja Turtles anymore. And it's cool, but what I saw of the Lost Years of the new Turtles as babies, I didn't like them that much. I didn't hate them, but they didn't grip me with them. And Casey Marie, she was kind of cool. Like, she was cool in The Last Ronin, but she was not the main, attraction. I didn't care that much about her. She was fine. She was a good character, but I was more there for Mikey and April and all that. And those characters and the flashbacks and all that. That's mostly what I was into. The new Resistance people and stuff, I wasn't that into. I didn't care that much about them. So having a comic that's essentially going to be four new characters just hanging out with the Resistance doesn't sound like Ninja Turtles to me. I don't know. It sounds like any like dystopian sci-fi, like cyberpunk kind of comic. So I don't know. Like maybe it'll be great, but I'm glad they're still doing stuff with the Ronin-verse though, because that was so big that it would be a shame to just end it. Although I think it ends perfectly with the story. The ending is beautiful. I think financially it would be a mistake to end it there. So I think it's smart. Still haven't gotten any updates on this video game, I believe. I'm really waiting for like a gameplay trailer and stuff, but we haven't seen that yet. But when we do, you will hear about it here late, like a week late probably. And if they have shown it off and I'm not aware, then I'm sorry. Because when it comes to video games, I've just been, first I played through Mario Wonder, then I played through the Super Mario RPG remake. So it's just been all Mario for me for the past month and a half. So sorry, I've just been in the Mushroom Kingdom when it comes to gaming.
This is April O'Neil, Channel 6 News, and you're watching the Party Wagon Podcast.
All right, now on to the main attraction, the focus of this episode. So believe it or not, I almost didn't believe this when I found this out when I grew up and watched the whole show, but the 87 cartoon, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Fred Wolf, 87 cartoon show that everyone my age grew up watching, never had a Christmas special. They never had a Christmas episode, which every show did back then. You know, He-Man had a Christmas episode, He-Man She-Ra. The Smurfs had a Christmas episode. Garfield had an amazing Christmas special. I think it's the best thing Garfield probably ever made. That and the Halloween special, those are amazing. Like everything had a Christmas special back then. But for some reason, Ninja Turtles never did. Hell, even like all the Nicktoons, like Doug and Rocko's Modern Life and stuff had Christmas episodes. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this long-running show, this long-ass show that was the biggest show for kids year-round for like 5 years, never had a proper Christmas episode. And that just felt so wrong when I found that out. But then I'm thinking back to my childhood, it's like, yeah, I don't remember one. But we did get a Christmas special in the form of something else, something very special. We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, which was a live-action, made-for-VHS Christmas special musical using the suits from the Coming Out of Their Shells tour, or they're probably the ones from the Getting Down in This Town tour. So let's go over the Coming Out of Their Shells tour first. I still want to do a full episode on this at some point. Originally, I was thinking of doing a joint episode here and doing Coming Out of Their Shells and then doing We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. But I have so much to say about the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. Like honestly, I have so much to say about it. I don't think I could just squeeze that in here. Like, I'd have to talk about that for like 2 hours straight or something. And all I'll say, though, I'll try to sum it up as fast as I possibly can. But what I'll say is a lot of people dump on the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. It's very easy to make fun of the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. I love it. I think it's actually an amazing piece of media. I did not know about it as a kid, or I did not see it as a kid. I probably saw the commercials and just don't remember. I probably saw the commercials. My parents are probably like, oh, that would be cool, right? But like never intending to take me because we didn't have that kind of money. But also as a kid, I just didn't really think that stuff was real, I guess. Like TV was its own universe. So I just kind of assumed, like, if it's not happening in my town, it must not be real. So I didn't I probably saw those commercials. I remember seeing like when I like later on when I got into Nickelodeon, they always showed those shots of like Universal Studios and there's people dressed up in Tommy Pickles and Chucky Finster costumes and stuff. And I'm like, you don't think of that as actually being a real event. You think of that as just being some staged thing for TV just to create this fun world when you're a little kid. That like, I guess I didn't really think if I saw the Coming Out of Their Shells tour commercials, which I must have. Because I was so into Turtles in 1990. I probably didn't think that was like actually a thing you could go to. So, for whatever reason, I didn't remember that this thing existed. But then when I got older, I grew up, everyone's talking about it. Coming Out of Their Shells tour. Coming Out of Their Shells tour. Oh my God, that was so embarrassing. And that was so stupid. Oh, I had the cassette tape growing up. I used to listen to the cassette tape all the time. Oh, this song wasn't on the cassette tape. Shredder's song isn't on the cassette tape. Like Angry Video Game Nerd and Nostalgia Critic did like a joint review of the freaking thing and everything. Like James Rolfe on his own just did like a coverage of it. And everyone's talking about the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. They're saying like, oh, they had the song Pizza Power at the end of the Turtles in Time game. So there was a ton of stuff like that. And I never knew about this show before that. But much older now. It's been on the internet for years. Alas, I have seen it. I watched it a few years ago for the first time. And man, what a nostalgia bomb. Like, even though I didn't go to it, I didn't know about it, I guess. It just so perfectly like represents what was cool at that time. It really feels purely like a huge celebration of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in the early 90s and the late 80s and like what little kids thought was cool then. And like, I would have loved to go to that. I think if I went to that as a kid, that would have like been like the greatest night of the year. That would have been legendary. I would have been talking about that for years. I would have freaking loved that so much. I probably would have gone home and took all the Rock and Roll Turtles and tried to like recreate it and stuff. I know I would have loved that. Like it was a ton of fun. Is it goofy? Yes. Are the suits cheap and crappy looking? A lot of people say they're creepy. They're mildly creepy sometimes, especially when you see them up close in the VHS tapes. But I don't find them as creepy as other people do. I don't know. they don't creep me out quite as much as the other people seem to get creeped out by them. I think they're actually really impressive suits. Because even though, yes, compared to the Henson ones, they look like garbage. They have very limited facial movement and everything. It is impressive how much they do look like Ninja Turtles. And the actors are able to just move around so much in them. Like, they're able to get so much movement in those suits. And they just look so relaxed and cool and all, like, you know, like, enjoying themselves. It doesn't look like a bunch of uncomfortable people suffocating to death in a suit they can't move in. Like, you know, you would expect them to look like, Randy from The Christmas Story is the Ralphie's little brother when he's all tied up in like the winter clothes and he can't put his arms down. He falls over and I can't get up. You'd picture them looking like that, but no, they're moving around, dancing and hopping and bopping and singing and even going, having action scenes and all this stuff. So it's impressive how much they were able to do. And they have a very cool, like, all denim, very early 90s, like, pop kind of look to them. But, yeah, it's cool. I think the suits are impressive. Again, yes, they're not the best looking. I guess they're creepy, but I don't find them that creepy. And I got to say, the songs kick ass. Like, I'm sorry. I know we're supposed to make fun of them, but, like, Pizza Power slaps. That is a great song. But You Can Count on Us, awesome song. Like, there's Walk Straight. Like, there's so many cool songs in there that are like, yo, this is legit a cool song. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's like embarrassing or anything. I think it's just fun. It's just a cool, fun thing for kids. And, you know, as funny as it sounds, some kids might have gotten really into music because of that show, because the turtles tell them, like, oh, music's powerful. Listen to the lyrics in music. It can mean a lot. With the power of music, you can come overcome a lot of things. And some, there's a lot of people who really, really love their music. And they put, like, you know, musicians on a pedestal, and it's like a big part of who they are. That they might have found that because they loved Intro as a kid and the turtles told them that. So I don't know. There's no proof in that, but, you know, I think it's a positive thing. I don't think it has any negative effect on anything. Is it easy to make fun of? Yes, it is extremely easy to make fun of. But putting aside my cynical adult self for a second, I think the Coming Out of Their Shells tour is nothing short of genius. It's a good time. That's a good time. That was a hell of a celebration for little kids who were Ninja Turtle fans at the time. Then they did the Getting Down in Your Town tour. And I didn't know about that one until James Rolfe talked about it. That had, like, Casey Jones in it and stuff. It was way lower budget. It was kind of just done at, like, theme parks. Like, they did it at Great Adventure. Well, Six Flags, I should say. The one by me is Great Adventure. I know they're all different things. But I actually regularly went to Great Adventure a few years in a row because I had a grandfather who worked there, and he used to hook us up with, like, tokens and stuff because, you know, normally we couldn't afford that kind of stuff. So, like, he worked there, so he hooked us up, so we were able to go to Six Flags Great Adventure, and it was always in the summer. So I'm always wondering, like, were they doing that the year I went and I didn't know about it? That'd be crazy if I didn't know they were doing a Ninja Turtle concert at Six Flags when I went there. But they may have been, but I didn't know about that one as a kid at all. I didn't know about either of them probably as a kid. Maybe I went too early in the summer and it wasn't happening yet. Maybe like a month later it was happening or something. Maybe they didn't go to Great Adventure. Maybe they went to other Six Flags locations and not Great Adventure. But they did that tour. Huge step down in quality. And then they did straight to VHS movie musicals. They did Turtle Tunes, which is just a bunch of really crap song. So, like, obviously the Coming Out of Your Shells tours, tour songs are badass. They sound like power ballads from the 80s and stuff. Like, they are rocking tunes. I don't care what anyone says. No embarrassment there. I would gladly blast those while driving around town with the windows down. But the Turtle Tune songs are horrible. They take, like, nursery rhymes and just change the lyrics to kind of be about the turtles. They're really not. It's about, like, Leo in a rowboat and, like, just generic stuff like skateboarding in the park and stuff. Like, it's really not Ninja Turtle themed outside of the fact that there's Ninja Turtle suit actors running around. It's a pretty low bar. I didn't know about these again as a kid. I didn't have these VHS tapes. I'm assuming a lot of kids probably did. But then they did We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, which is the Christmas musical with these turtles. It's still using the suits from the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. I feel like you kind of know right from just hearing the title that this isn't going to be that good. Like, let's be real. We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. That isn't even a clever pun. Like, I could probably come up with a better turtle Christmas pun in, like, 5 seconds. Jingle shells. There you go. That's more clever. Like, we wish you a turtle Christmas sounds nothing like We Wish You a Merry Christmas. So, right off the bat, the title is garbage. But yeah, it's the only Turtles Christmas special we had back in the early 90s. So what happens in this special? I guess I'll do the rundown of what happens. It's really just a bunch of songs. It's essentially just a bunch of Christmas songs with Ninja Turtle lyrics. And they're strung together loosely by this story that's supposedly going on of the turtles, who all have New York accents except for Raphael. Donatello. Except for Donatello, they all have New York accents this time, which sounds funny to hear Leo with this over-the-top, like, hey, come on, man, kind of accent. But at the same time, it's like they all live in New York. It kind of makes sense, honestly. So they all have New York accents, heavy New York accents, except for Donatello. But they finished their shopping. They bought all their presents for each other. Then, like a bunch of greedy assholes, none of them bought a present for Splinter. And they're like, hey, yo, I thought you were supposed to buy a present for Splinter. Raph, why did you buy a present for Splinter? Oh, it was Mikey's job and all this stuff. And nobody takes responsibility. Nobody bought presents for their dad. Pretty dick move on their part. So they all have to get out of the sewer and just walk around town out in the open in front of everybody, which defeats the whole point of them living in the sewer in the first place, to get presents for Splinter because it's 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve and they haven't gotten him anything yet. So they go out, sing a bunch of songs, meet a bunch of kids who are just kind of on the street making music. I don't know who the hell those kids are. They're at their Christmas celebration the next day too, which is, I guess those kids don't have families. I guess they're homeless. I don't know. But the turtles go out, they sing a bunch of songs, and then like 2 seconds at the end, they're like, oh, let's get the presents. And they just buy whatever crap they find. And it's really just a bunch of crap for themselves. They get like the grossest looking pizza. And it's like framed. It's in a picture frame. Just a pizza in a picture frame. It's not square or anything. It's just a round pizza. You can see the wires and everything. It looks like you left the pizza out for a month. And they put that in a frame and bought it. But apparently, so there's this one scene that's just like Raph. An up close of Raph holding a bunch of products. And the other turtles responding to it like, no, we don't want to get him that. No, that's lame. We're not getting that. But they end up getting everything you see in that scene. And Raph doesn't talk in those scenes too, which is just funny. I guess they didn't have the budget to make his mouth move in that scene. But everything you see, the comic books, which actually technically aren't comic books. They're actually like the Turtles adventure books, which were like a picture on each. They're picture books, but they were like paperbacks. And they were shaped like comic books, but they weren't really comics. I actually have one of them. I have the one with the neutrinos. They show those in the movie and call them comic books, which is kind of funny that the Turtles read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic books, but okay. And like neckties and all this stuff. And they end up buying all that crap for Splinter. All the presents they said were garbage and that they shouldn't get him, they get him. And they mostly just get him a bunch of crap that they want. They get him like video games and pizza and like you know, Splinter doesn't like pizza. Traditionally, Splinter always eats like sushi and Japanese food and tells the turtles they shouldn't eat so much pizza because it's bad for you and they need discipline and all this stuff. So it's kind of weird that they just buy him a bunch of crap that they like. But I guess he's like just happy that his mutant turtle kids bought him presents at all. And furthermore, I don't know how they're buying them because they don't have any money. I guess the turtles have always had money. Somehow Mike's paying for pizza in the first movie and in the cartoon show, they're always buying pizza. I don't know if they just find money in the sewers or something, but they buy a bunch of stuff. And then like the final part is like, it's Christmas morning in the sewers. Again, a bunch of homeless kids are hanging out with them. And Splinter, who has this humongous fat head, it's the same Splinter from the Coming Out of Their Shell tour, but like, boy, he looks rough. He sings the 12 Days of Christmas, but just going over every single present the turtles got him, 5 video games and all this stuff. And it's something is just extremely hilarious to me about the fact that every time he says one press, I think it's the pizza, Donatello turns with this stupid smile on his face and just tilts it towards the camera. And it's the same footage every time he says it. It just becomes like a drinking game after a while. Like anytime you see that shot of Donatello take a shot, it goes on very long. They make a joke about, "Whoa, that must have been like the longest song of all time." But let's talk about the rest of the song. So it starts off immediately with a song. And then we go immediately into another song, Deck the Halls with Pepperoni, where they're singing about pizza. And it's like a reggae thing for some reason. I don't know what's going on there. Then they have the rap where they're rapping the presents. Because, you had to have a rap song at that time. Rap was big at that time. Especially like Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer. Like pop rap was very big at that time. To be honest, that's the kind of rap I like better, is the goofy fun stuff. Personally, I'm not a huge rap guy. But the rap, you have to have that. That's essential for that time period. Everyone did those. You know, every kid show and stuff always had a character rap. And usually it started like, "Hey, my name is something and I'm here to say." It's like, it was always like that. But they don't do that in this one. They just sing the rap. We have a moment where Mike sings "Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem" in like this opera voice. And the Turtles act like this is something that happens all the time. Now, it's been a while since I've seen the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. I don't remember if he does the opera voice at some point in the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. If he does, I forgot that part. Because they act like this is a thing that happens all the time. Like, "Oh man, the opera guy's coming out again." And he just sees like a statue with like, and like snow coming down, and he's just gets overtaken with his alter ego, who's an opera singer, and he sings this. And it's so weird because the Turtles act like really annoyed and embarrassed by it at first, but then they start doing stuff that implies they're really into it. So I don't know what the readout is supposed to be on this scene. A hilarious moment is when they go to lift him up and like elevate him, so it was like they can carry him while he's singing, but he's too heavy, so they just put him down. And it's clearly not scripted. Like, they were supposed to pick him up, but the actors couldn't do it, so they just left it in the movie. They didn't do another take. They're like, "All right, this is impossible." They probably did like a million takes, and at some point they were like, "All right, it's never gonna happen. Let's just have them grab Mike's legs from the back, nudge him a little bit, and then stop." So it's very, very awkward that is in the movie the way it is. It's a pretty long scene. It's funny they say the 12 Days of Christmas is the longest song ever, because I feel like this Mike one is probably just as long. But I will say, the dude singing that, he's got a set of pipes on him, man. That it's actually a good... He's actually a good singer. Like, that's a pretty solid rendition of that song. So I think it's about like New York Christmas. It's about New York City, I think, his version, because they always change the words. They have like, like "Over the mountains and through the fields," or "Right at the grandmother's house we go," but they have it as like a Turtle Christmas one. It shows them like walking through the sewers and going on a little journey. And I thought, again, the sewer set is really good, actually. The set is really impressive. It's probably just filmed in like a boiler room or something, but it looks good. The lighting's good. They have all like green lighting and stuff. It really sets like not only the New York vibe, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle vibe. And as cheap and crappy and silly as this thing is, it has a surprisingly good production value for what it is. It's not like, mind-blowing production value. It's not going to be like the movies, but for a stupid made for VHS musical sing along, they put in the extra effort, I guess. Like the suits are acceptable. They're not great, but they're acceptable. The songs are actually original. Like, okay, yeah, they're all based on Christmas songs. Scratch it. They're not original. But I feel like they made them sound a little more like hip, like kind of like the Coming Out of Their Shells tour songs. Whereas like Turtle Tunes is just like nursery rhymes. Like it's just like really crappy sounding. So I feel like a little more effort went into the music in this one than Turtle Tunes, if I'm going to be fair. They're not great, but, you know, they're fine. But yeah, it's just really just a series of songs. It's very short. I'm actually surprised how quickly it goes by. I'm sure if I saw that as a kid, that would have felt like a five-hour movie to me. I probably would have been like, oh, man, I've been going along with these turtles on this Christmas adventure for so long now. When are they going to get to the store? Like, well, are they ever going to make it to the store? Or now it's like the movie is over. My movie, in quotes, it's not a movie. It's a, you know, half hour VHS tape, but it's over so fast. I wouldn't even be surprised if I found out it's shorter than a half an hour, if it's like 25 minutes or something, because it is very, very short. Like I said, it's really just a bunch of songs, and they just strung it together with this crappy story about them buying presents for Splinter, and they buy presents for Splinter, and they have We Wish You a Turtle Christmas that plays again at the end. And, you know, some of the lyrics are kind of clever. I like the way they work in all their names, like Merry Christmas to you from Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, or no, Leonardo, Raphael, and Donna. It works. I'm butchering it, but it works in the movie. So, like, is it a good Ninja Turtles Christmas special? Because, again, we didn't have one back then. We didn't have the cartoon show have a Christmas special. Like, there wasn't a Christmas special for the cartoon show, which, again, is so surprising because every cartoon had one back then. So it's really shocking that there wasn't one. That would have been an easy event to make, like, every family in America tune in to Ninja Turtles that night. If they had done that, like, tonight at 6 or 7 o'clock after dinner, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special, like, that would have been huge. They would have made a ton of money off of that. I don't think this ever aired on TV. I could be wrong. I'm not familiar with it. Again, I learned about this when I got older. So I don't know if it was on TV. If it was, I never saw it. I never saw commercials for it or anything. I think it was just VHS, and that was it. But I could be wrong. I don't know. So it's hard to say if this is a good Turtles Christmas special, because I don't even know if it was a Christmas special for most people. Like, most people probably didn't see this. I'm assuming this is like relatively unknown until the internet, or maybe like a ton of kids had this. I actually don't know, because a lot of kids didn't talk about like what they had at home, like what Ninja Turtle stuff they had. That's what I wanted to talk about, but that's not what kids talked about a lot when I was a kid. So I don't know if this was like a really big deal. This was like a part of the holiday season for several kids back then. And I don't know how it was received. I'm assuming these could have been somewhat successful if they made two of them, Turtle Tunes and We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. Or they might have just produced both of them at once and put them out together because they were like, you know, whatever, just make a Christmas one. We can make double the money. But yeah, again, I don't know how many people saw this. If it was on TV, a lot of people probably did see it, but I don't think it was. It weirdly does take place in the cartoon universe. Like, it's debatable, but they mention Bebop and Rocksteady in in the movie. They're singing Deck the Halls with Pepperoni. They say, no Bebop and no Rocksteady. So Bebop and Rocksteady exist in the world of We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. And, you know, they mentioned the Shredder, which Shredder's in, like, pretty much every version of the Turtles. But it's heavily implied it's supposed to be, like, the 87 Turtles, but they don't sound like the 87 Turtles. They sure as hell don't look like the 87 Turtles. They don't even really act like the 87 Turtles. It's really just its own weird universe. I guess, like, it exists with the Coming Out of Their Shells tour, the Getting Down in This Town tour, and Turtle Tunes. Like, it's just the Turtles musical universe, I guess, is like its own thing, which we never considered its own universe when we were doing like ranking turtle designs and stuff. We never did the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. I purposely didn't put them in. I was debating it at first, but I opted not to because I'm like, realistically, these guys are not going to go very high on this tier list. Like, what's the point of even putting them in there? So I didn't, but they really are like their own offshoot of Turtles. Like, you know, we had the movie Turtles, we had the comic Turtles, both comic Turtles at that time. We had the toy Turtles, we had the cartoon show Turtles, and we had the musical Turtles. And they're probably the ones people talk about the least. Although NECA did do action figures for the Coming Out of Their Shells tour, which I'm still bummed that I didn't ever get those, because I actually really wanted those, and I'm sure I could get them on the aftermarket. I think they're expensive. All I ever found when I went to stores was the t-shirt and guitar picks, like that box, that they overproduced that stupid thing, like the bonus extras, and didn't produce enough of the actual figures, which is what people actually wanted. So that was back early when like NECA didn't know what the hell they were doing. And they were making like five of each figure and everyone would have to just go murder each other over them. like early NECA Turtles was a disaster. Like, you basically couldn't, you know, collect that toy line unless you were like a scalper or unless you were just rich and you were willing to pay insane aftermarket prices. But I mean, with how quickly those Coming Out of Their Shells Turtles sold out and stuff, like, there's no denying there was still like a cultural impact from these musical Turtles. As easy as it is to make fun of them, as ugly as they might look to some people, as cheesy as they might be, as cheesy as some of the songs people might think are, don't get me wrong, the songs in Turtle Tunes are very cheesy. I think the songs in Coming Out of Their Shells are freaking badass, but the songs in Turtle Tunes and We Wish You a Turtle Christmas are not big winners. They're definitely cheesier. Not to say that Coming Out of Their Shell store doesn't have a lot of cheese, but you know, there's clearly a step down. But yeah, they still they hold a place in the pantheon of turtles. There's definitely a space for them, and they definitely had an influence. And I do have to say, you know, as I guess people today would call it cringe as We Wish You a Turtle Christmas is, first of all, it's nice that we had a Turtles Christmas special in one way, because again, the 87 cartoon dropped the ball on that one. They never made a proper Christmas special, which is still mind-blowing to me. I almost feel like there was one and I just like crossed over into another dimension and now there isn't one, because it just feels like there would be one. I think most people my age, if you told them there was never a Christmas episode of that show, they wouldn't believe you. They'd be like, oh, you just don't know what you're talking about, you forgot about it. I know I saw one, but there wasn't one. So I think it's cool that they picked up the slack there and they actually made a Turtles Christmas special, because, you know, you might as well get every market. But also, it's kind of nice to have these really cheesy, wholesome, family-friendly turtles, because that's the big debate now. It's like, should turtles be funny and silly and made for kids? Or should they be edgy and violent and angry. And I don't really think we need one or the other. I think both can coexist. I think it's good to have this stuff for very little kids because Turtles appeals to children, whether we like it or not. I think it's cool, but kids love Turtles. When I was a kid, I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Obviously, that's why I'm here. So I think, you know, you can't deny that Turtles appeals more to children than adults. So I think it's nice that back then they had a lot of options like that for, you know, not only kid shows, because yes, the 2012 show is a kid show. Rise of the TMNT is a kid show. You know, Mutant Mayhem is a kid's movie. But they don't have anything that's like for really little kids. They don't have like really cute, wholesome, fun, goofy Turtles. And you did have that back in the day. You know, the 87 cartoon, while most people would call it cheesy and corny, that had more edge than like the turtle tours, like coming out of their shell tour, getting down this town, Turtle Tunes, We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. Like that's, it had more edge than that. It had more of like that wit, more of that comedy, more of the slapstick, more violence, like all that stuff. So that was already a step above. Then you had like the movie, which was like a more mature version of that, more violence, it's darker, it's more realistic, it's grittier. Then you have the Mirage comics, which are even grittier than that and darker than that. So you had like a spectrum of Turtles, versions of the Turtles back then that I don't think you have now. It's like you have sarcastic, pop culture referencing comedy Turtles that are acceptable for kids, but most of the jokes are there for adults. And then you have The Last Ronin, and that's basically it. I guess IDW is like more like adult. You have adult comics, and then you have comedies made for kids that are being made with adults in mind. And that's pretty much all you have for Turtles now. Or back then, you had like all different types of Turtles. And I do think the perfect version of the Turtles is a balance of both, which is kind of the 1990 movie. I think that's basically the perfect balance of both. I've said that a million times. But I think that's the ideal version of the Turtles. It can be serious and gritty and dramatic and emotional when it needs to be, but it's also very lighthearted and funny and you know, suitable for children. So I think that's the best way to make Turtles. So if they, you know, if they were to make a Christmas special today, I don't know if it could work like that. I think this is the best way to make a Turtles Christmas special. And you can do, you know, more serious Christmas specials. Like I love the Justice League cartoon, the Christmas episode, not when it became Unlimited. I love Unlimited, but just the first Christmas episode. I don't care as much about the bar fight parts with like Hawkgirl and Green Lantern. It's like, you know, it's funny and it's a little cute to see them, you know, dating and all getting, you know, to like each other more. But the stuff with Superman, with his, you know, Earth parents on the farm, and he brings Jean, you know, Martian Manhunter, and like kind of teaches him like the warmth and like, you know, beauty of Christmas. He teaches him the beauty of Christmas and family. This is a guy who lost everything and he doesn't have a family anymore. He doesn't have a home or anything. And he's a very cold and stern character. And Superman, who's also an alien and lost everything and, you know, lost his world and lost his parents and stuff, shows him like the beauty of Earth and the compassion of Earth and the beauty of the season and the warmth of, you know, Christmas. And I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful Christmas special. And it is a bit more mature than like, you know, the We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. So I think you can do more mature Christmas specials for kids, but I would say for Turtles, it probably works better with like Turtle. We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, because you wouldn't want to go as dark as like Batman the Animated Series, where you know, the Joker kidnaps Commissioner Gordon and his daughter and like gags them with candy canes and puts on some sick game show and everything. Like, you don't want to go that dark with a Christmas special for the Turtles, I feel. Actually, I never got in that cartoon. Why don't they just spit the candy canes out? Like, you can't gag someone with a candy cane. You just spit it out. Like, you can talk. Just spit the candy cane out and talk, you idiots. But I don't think you should go that dark with the Turtles one. I think it works better to just have a goofy, fun, cute Christmas special with the Turtles. It doesn't need to be a musical, I guess, but I think it works well because they are still technically children. They're teenagers. So you can have some pretty like cute, charming, heartwarming stories with the Turtles at Christmas. Cause you know, they're not really technically a family, but like Splinter's basically their father. And, they can't have Christmas traditionally the way we can. So you can explore that, like them trying to make the best Christmas they can with the lifestyle they have. You could definitely do a better Christmas special than We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. It is in no way the ideal Ninja Turtle Christmas special. And they did do Christmas episodes in later shows, like the 2003 show. They did Christmas episodes and stuff, which is... is funny because people retroactively seem to act like the 2003 cartoon was so dark and so edgy and stuff. And I know the 2000s are famous for being dark and edgy. And it's definitely, you know, got a bit more edge than the 87 cartoon. But you go back and watch it, it's like it's a little more mature than the 87 cartoon. It's still not like that over the top dark. It's still got a ton of comedy and goofy stuff in it. It's still like... they didn't lose the fun factor of the Turtles. So, you know, I don't think it's that surprising that like, oh, the 87 cartoon show didn't have that surprising. The 87 cartoon show didn't have a Christmas special, but I don't find it surprising that the 2003 one did. But yeah, they've made Christmas episodes in later incarnations of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but there really isn't like a definitive Turtles Christmas special. There isn't really like that one Christmas special that everyone watches for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like there is for He-Man and She-Ra. Like that one is legendary now. It has the like, I am not good, I am not nice line that everybody knows from Skeletor. It's a great Christmas special. It's cheesy, it's silly. But in all the right ways, it makes you feel like a kid again watching it. It gives you that fun feeling. And the Turtles really don't have that. I think We Wish You a Turtle Christmas is the closest they ever came, but unfortunately it didn't quite hit the mark. It's a little too stupid, I think. It's a little too inaccessible again. If it wasn't on TV, you had to own the VHS tape. Not every kid would have owned it because not every kid even knew it existed. And it is kind of just an add-on. It's a spin-off of the Coming Out of Their Shells tour, which is like, that was the main attraction. Then it fizzled out into the Getting Down in Your Town tour, which no one knew about. Then it fizzled out into like these two VHS tapes that no one cared about. So it's like... it doesn't have that classic status. And it is a shame that Turtles doesn't have that one Christmas special. Cause you know, they made like turtle plush toys where they were dressed up like Santa. I had a Raph one I got for Christmas one year and stuff. Like they made a bunch of Turtles Christmas merchandise. They made like stockings with the turtles peeking out and everything. And they made everything Christmas for the Turtles except the action figure line in the 87 cartoon, but we Wish You Turtle Christmas. So I just think it's not the definitive Turtles Christmas special. I think we still haven't gotten that. And I think someone should work on that, honestly. I think that should be a goal for Viacom. Like, we have to get the definitive Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special. And to do that, you might need to create a new version of them. Like, you might not be able to do it with the Mutant Mayhem Turtles or the Rise Turtles. I don't think the Rise one's going to catch on. I'm sorry. If you tried to do like, this is the definitive Turtles Christmas special and you do it with the Rise Turtles, I don't think you're going to make it definitive. You might have to like maybe even do a new one with Suits. Maybe do the live action Suits they have for Mutant Mayhem, because they've been parading those around a lot. Maybe do that. Maybe, you know, since everyone's a little more self-aware now, everyone's like overly self-aware and too eager to make fun of themselves before anybody else can. Everything needs to be kind of like sarcastic and kind of like, you know, cynical now. You could still follow that strategy and do like a Christmas special. You could do like, you know, a musical one, but like the songs are kind of purposely dumb or something. I would prefer you just do it all out, because I think that's the way it becomes timeless, is if you do it sincerely. But if, like, even then you could still make it like funny, where like you could find that balance where for the kids, they just enjoy it as a musical and they love it, but the adults are laughing at how bad it is. Like, you could find that kind of balance, and that might make it like a masterpiece. That might make it an essential Turtles Christmas special, because like I said, Garfield, that's essential. You know, Charlie Brown, essential. Like, there's a lot of cartoon franchises that have essential Christmas episodes, and Turtles just doesn't. And it feels weird because it's one of those huge multimedia franchises, and there's just no way really to celebrate it at Christmas time, which is a shame. There should be. But if you've never seen the Coming Out of Their Shells tour, you can't go see that now. You can go watch on YouTube, which I recommend. But if you've never seen Wish You a Turtle Christmas and you're a big Turtles fan, especially retro Turtles, I'd say check it out. It's cheesy, it's dumb, but you will get some satisfaction out of it. You will get enjoyment out of it. It's funny. It's charming for what it is. It's ridiculous. Even if you think it's complete garbage, you'll probably still laugh your ass off and have a good time. Sort of like the Star Wars Holiday Special. I've watched that multiple times, just because even though that's an endurance, it's like 2 hours long. It is just so shockingly garbage that it's hilarious to watch it. And sadly, it's probably one of the best Star Wars movies at this point, because they made so many bad Star Wars movies and shows that, you know, after the original trilogy, the next best thing might be a holiday special at this point. But yeah, I can watch it because it's so bad that it's actually funny. Like, the new Star Wars stuff is so bad, it's just anger-inducing. But you know, the holiday special is funny, and I think, you know, even the He-Man one, I don't think anyone these days watches it sincerely. I think people watch it because it's funny, and Turtles doesn't have that. That's a shame, because that adds a lot to a fandom. I think when you can celebrate each holiday with the IP, it really strengthens the fandom even more, and you can celebrate Halloween more with Ninja Turtles. I feel like they've done much more like Halloween-y, like monster movie kind of episodes and stuff. And they've always done monster crossover action figures and all. And they've had the Universal Monsters come out of the movie screens in the 87 cartoon. They had like an Archie, they had characters, a bunch of Universal Monsters combined into like a weird creature and stuff. And like in multiple toy lines, they've done Universal Monster crossovers, and multiple cartoons, they've done those and all. Like, it's easier to do Turtles at Halloween than it is at Christmas, probably, which is weird because most franchises thrive the most at Christmas unless they're like Halloween themed, like, you know, Beetlejuice or something, or Hocus Pocus. Well, then you could be as lucky as Nightmare Before Christmas, where you're just synonymous with both. I think of it as Halloween, but, you know, a lot of people think of it as a Christmas movie. But, yeah, I think as much as I'd want to say, like, they should push We Wish You a Turtle Christmas more, they should put it on Paramount Plus or whatever it's called, they should show it on Nickelodeon, they should try to make it a thing. I think it's just shy of being worthy of being like, you know, like that, of being like a big success, ironically. I think it's just shy of that. It's definitely memeable as hell. I don't know if people have memed it, but it's memeable as hell. But I don't know. I just think it's missing a little something. It's missing one secret ingredient for making it classic. Whereas like the Coming Out of Their Shells tour is that's classic. Like you watch that and you're like, yeah, I see why this was a big deal. I feel the impact of this. When you watch it now, you feel the power. You feel Turtle Mania coursing through your veins. When you watch We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, it's just kind of like, oh, this is some goofy crap you'd find like on a supermarket bargain bin shelf around Christmas time VHS tapes. Like you wouldn't even find it next to like Rudolph or Frosty or the Grinch or anything. You'd find it next to like those half-assed wannabe ones that aren't the Rankin Bass specials and stuff. They're just like these, like A Star at Christmas or The Christmas Tree and all these like stupid little garbage animated movies like that made by these knockoff studios. And they'd be on the same shelf as like the unofficial Beauty and the Beast. That's not Disney. It's like a Blonde Belle and all this stuff. And it's like a totally different movie when you watch it. It would be on like that shelf probably. It's not quite like, you know, classic masterpiece cheese level product. So that's basically my final consensus about the We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. It's a ton of fun, especially for someone who grew up in Turtle Mania. There is nostalgia there just by the way it's presented and the way it looks and the way the music sounds and the kind of lingo they use and the kind of jokes they make. But it's not as classic as like the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. If you were only going to watch one, I'd say just check out the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. That is, I think, a mandatory thing to be watched by anyone who was a Turtles fan as a kid in the 80s and 90s. I don't think We Wish You a Turtle Christmas is mandatory, but I think it is a lot of fun if you're into Turtles. So this is another short one, another very short one. I'm averaging about an hour 20 for every episode, I think now, an hour 30. It's hard for me to keep these going without Eric here. I'm curious to hear what Eric thinks about We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. I almost want to ask him like if he's ever seen it, you know, because I don't think he doesn't know I'm doing this episode. I didn't tell him what I'm picking as my topics for these episodes. So he has no idea that I'm doing We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, but I guess he'll find out. I'll tell him, you know, like I did a Wish You a Turtle Christmas. By the way, have you ever seen it? And I'm curious. I want to hear what he thinks of it. Yeah. Still awkward with these sign-offs. We still don't really know what to do. We got to come up with something clever. We got to come up with some kind of clever, punchy little slogan we can say at the end. Like, don't let the door hit your shell or some dumb crap like that. But until we get something like that, happy holidays. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And stay tuned for some more Party Wagon podcast episodes in the coming weeks.